Steffi elbows her hair out of her eyes before grabbing a frying pan, splashing olive oil liberally into it, and scraping the finely chopped onion into the oil. Ignoring the sweat running into her eyes, she spins around, hurrying over to the counter opposite, where Jorge is slicing spring onions. "More of the green," she says, peering over his shoulder, then leaning forward to show him. "Take it all the way up to there." She runs back to the frying pan and shakes it hard, turning down the heat for the onion to soften, before pacing quickly to another chopping board and thinly slicing a giant portobello mushroom. The rest of the world might be falling apart, but you'd never know it to look through the window at Joni's on 12th Street, the tiny vegetarian restaurant downtown that is becoming almost impossible to get into. The crowds come for the cozy atmosphere, the friendly staff, and mostly the food, which garnered a rave review in New York Magazine the other week, and is solely because of their scatty but brilliant chef, Steffi Tolmash. In the past year, Steffi has been astonished to see how busy the restaurant has become. It is her first proper job as a chef, and she knew within days that she had finally found her calling. It wasn't just the excitement of being given free rein to reinvent the menu that made it so perfect, but it was also the people. For the first time, Steffi felt part of a community, with most of the customers living in the hood and almost all becoming regulars. The lunchtime rush is over when Steffi looks through the hatch and sees Mason at a table by the window, immersed, as usual, in a manuscript and sipping from a mug of coffee. She owes him a thank you. Last week, a box arrived containing advance copies of two new cookbooks that Mason had told her about, knowing she would be interested. Wiping her hands on a towel and pushing the damp strands of hair off of her face, she nudges the kitchen door open with her foot and walks over to the table with a smile. The restaurant is almost empty. Just a table of four who are lingering over their mint teas and Middle Eastern orange cake. "Are you the chef?" One of the table of four stops her as she passes, and Steffi nods. "This cake is awesome." "It's incredible," the rest of the table chorus. "This is the most amazing cake I've ever had." One of the girls leans forward eagerly. "I'm a serious cook, and I would love to have the recipe." "Thank you for all your great compliments," Steffi says and grins, catching Mason's eye as he listens and looks up. "And yes, of course you can have the recipe. I'll only have to charge you $250 for it." "What?" Their mouths fall open in shock. "I'm kidding," Steffi laughs. "Didn't you ever hear the Neiman Marcus chocolate chip cookie story? I'm pretty sure it's apocryphal, but I couldn't resist." "Oh my God," one of the group exclaims. "I've baked those cookies. I love them." "I know," Steffi says. "Me too. I'll have to write down the recipe for the cake. Do you want to give me your email address? That's probably easiest." "That would be great," the girl says. "Thanks." "I think I underordered," Mason says. "I clearly need some of that orange cake." "Everyone needs some of the orange cake," Steffi smiles, turning to call Sky, the waitress who's hovering by the bar at the end. "Sky, can you bring Mason an orange cake?"
"Do you have time to sit?"
Mason gestures to the chair, and Steffi gratefully sinks down into it, relieved to be finally off her feet. Sky comes to the table bringing the cake for Mason, two spoons, and a cup of lemon zinger tea, her favorite, for Steffi, who smiles gratefully and squeezes her hand after she sets them down, then shakes her head as Mason tries to foist the second spoon on her.
"Oh, come on. You have to. I can't eat all this by myself."
"So eat half and take the rest home for Olivia."
He splutters with laughter. "Olivia won't eat this. She's allergic to carbs, wheat, and sugar. Oh, and dairy."
"She is? Seriously allergic?"
Of course not. But that's what she says now because it's easier than having to explain how she looks that fantastic after two kids. I have to say, she's seriously missing out on the fun stuff. Is she ever? Thinks Steffi, who would never dare say anything. Mason and Olivia live with their perfect children, Sienna and Gray, in a perfect apartment on Park Avenue in the East 60s. And not just any building on Park Avenue in the East 60s, but a building that is considered to be one of the top three buildings in Manhattan. She only knows the apartment is perfect because a few weeks ago, waiting to see the doctor after a particularly nasty cold that had left her with a wicked sinus infection, dizzy spells and loss of balance were not great while working in a busy kitchen, she picked up a copy of Elle Decor. There, on page 65, was a giant glossy picture of Mason and Olivia, with Sienna and Gray looking adorably cute in their stunning apartment. They were described as a glamorous power couple. He, the highly respected publisher who formed his own imprint 5 years ago, and thanks to three huge successes, is now regarded as a serious player in the publishing world. His wife, Olivia, is a bedale. Yes, from those bedales, the super wealthy Southern Oil family. Steffi asked a friend who worked in publishing about them, and the money, it seems, the riches that funded their extraordinary apartment, is her family money. While he is now a player, that wouldn't earn him anything like the sort of income that bought this apartment and the art contained within it. They are not the sort of people that Steffi would usually know. But Mason works around the corner and comes in for lunch a couple of times a week. Olivia met him there for lunch one day, and Steffi was stunned. Though Olivia was charming to her, Steffi had never imagined Mason to be married to someone so perfect.